Just a moment ago, Bruce prayed for me. And I can't tell you what that means to me when I know somebody is praying for me. And just yesterday, I was thinking about all of you. And I wondered, now, I know people in the church pray for me. I wonder just who it is and how many pray for me, because I need prayer. I need prayer. In fact, yesterday, what caused me to think of that, and I started to pray for myself. We live in such a broken world. And I may make you feel bad with this statement, but I've never seen such darkness and brokenness as what I see in the Blue Water area. I've lived in so many other places, and the amount of dysfunction and brokenness here is incredible to me. The amount of people who have no idea that they should wait until marriage for sex. Teen pregnancies, and I mean, it's just a high rate. And then there's this dysfunction that I see that's generational. And it's one of the reasons why we are preparing to get into a mentoring program, because we've been doing stuff where we just give to people, but we don't make a change in their lives. And I want us to start adopting families that we can say, here's how you prepare a menu, and here's how you raise your kids and take them to church, and here's how you fight your own anger with your kids and not abuse them. And we just need to help people get a better life. There's just such brokenness out there in the world. And yesterday I was thinking about all this, and I prayed, oh Lord, protect me. Keep me from the schemes of the devil so that I don't fall into temptation, because the wickedness in this area is so great. And Lord, keep me healthy. And I was just praying for that. And then when I hear Bruce pray for me, oh, it's very encouraging. And I want you to know, I pray for you. And every Tuesday we have staff prayer time, and every prayer card, we pray over it, every person by name. And everything that we're aware of, we pray over. And sometimes we know things are going on with families and we don't have a card on that, but we still pray for that. And so we're thankful for every opportunity that we have to pray for you. We need to pray for each other. And speaking of the brokenness that's in this world, I have been looking forward to next Sunday for some time now, ever since we scheduled a healing service. We have people that need a breakthrough. People that are bound up and need deliverance. And there are people that need physical healing, but there's also people that just need God's deliverance in their lives. And so next Sunday, and let me tell you, we can't schedule God. We don't schedule God. But what we have scheduled is a time for us to raise our expectations, a time for us to arouse our faith, a time for us to say, I'm going to hang on to God for help in this time. That's what the schedule is for next Sunday. God could do it today, and I wish He would in many situations. But we haven't tried to schedule when God can work. We've just scheduled when we can expect from God and to arouse our faith. Let me give you a good report. Just before the service, Kathy Jameson over here told me, we've been praying for some time for her daughter who has cancer, and she had surgery, and the reports came back. They got it all, and that she's cancer-free, and there's still tests to be done just to make sure there isn't any cancer somewhere else in her system, but we're believing for a complete healing. And I was so encouraged to get that word today, because that's one of the things we've been praying for earnestly. And so thanks, Kathy, for bringing that good report. But would you come next Sunday with high expectations? And even if you can't have high faith, now I'm going to give you a little teaching here. I'm really not even into my sermon yet. But what's the difference between faith and hope? Well, you know, I hope so is different than I know so. And I know so is faith. God is going to do it. I believe it. That's faith. But I want you to come next Sunday with this sense, God can do it, and it's going to happen. If you can't have that level of faith, then would you at least come with high hopes? I sure hope so. Because sometimes it's hard to arouse that much faith. But if we can have, you know, it just takes two or three of us. If two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. And if just two people agree together concerning anything on earth, it will be done of our Father in heaven. So we can have hundreds of people in the building next Sunday, and if two of them agree, we're going to see some miracles. So, next Sunday. Now, let's get into the message for today. We're in our continuing series on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we come to faithfulness. Now, the bad news is that we're living in a time where people are not faithful. They're not faithful in so many ways. In marriage, and what do we say? If someone who is married has an affair, we use the word, oh, that person was unfaithful. That's the word we use, unfaithful. People are unfaithful to their children. People are unfaithful at work. They're really not giving 100% at work. There's so many ways that we can be unfaithful. You know, there's faithfulness to your church. And I'm so thankful for the many people who have been faithful to their church. But here's the good news, and it's the good news I give you every week, and it's this, that sinners need Jesus and what he did on the cross for them, but people who are Christians need the Holy Spirit to live the holy life that he's called us to live. And by the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us, we can be faithful. I want us to read together aloud Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is what we've been preaching on for several weeks now. Would you read this with me? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So now we come to faithfulness. In the original Greek, the word is pistis, and it means reliable, dependable, trustworthy. In other words, a faithful person is someone you can count on. Are you someone that other people can count on? And I'm going to go back to that old adage, in this world there are givers and there are takers. Givers are the ones who say, you can count on me. Takers are the ones who say, I need to be able to count on somebody. And there's a difference. Well, I want you to be one of those people that say, it doesn't matter about anybody else, but people can count on me. I am going to be trustworthy. I'm going to be faithful. If you're following along in your worship folder, here's the first point of the message. Faithfulness is a character quality of God, and God the Father is faithful to us. He is a promise-keeping God. You know, we sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and when we sing that, we're actually quoting Scripture. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. In the Psalms, we read, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness through all generations. Some of you know the song, the music that's been put to that verse. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness through all generations. Who knew that? Anybody? All right, I just touched a button there. Yes, we're good. It goes on. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. That word faithfulness just appears over and over in that passage. And it says that when we come together like this on a Sunday morning, we are to celebrate the faithfulness of God. He is a faithful God. So how is God the Father faithful to us? Well, here are some things I'm going to give you. He forgives our sin. The Scripture says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. He helps us with temptation. No temptation is except you, but what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He keeps us. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into his fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. He completes us. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithfully working on you every day. God the Son is faithful to us. Jesus endured the cross. He was so determined to die for you and me to save us, being faithful to us, that when he headed to Jerusalem, he said, I got to go to Jerusalem. You know, I'm going to die there. I'm going to be executed. And Peter spoke up and said, oh, don't do it, Lord. You know, don't do the hard thing like this. And Jesus literally said, now it's kind of harsh, but Jesus literally said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. By the way, that really speaks to what's the Christian life all about? Do we say, oh, if it gets hard, then I shouldn't do it? Jesus said, doing the right thing is the hard thing, and I'm going to do it. And if somebody tries to talk me out of doing the hard thing, I'm going to say, get behind me, Satan. And he loves us so much. I love this verse. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. His faithfulness to us isn't depend on, well, it's a 50-50 deal. If we're faithful to him, he'll be faithful. No, it says, even when we're faithless, he's still faithful. You cannot diminish the faithfulness of God. It's who he is. You can't undo it. God the Spirit is faithful to us. The Holy Spirit counsels, instructs us, instructs and reminds us. The scripture says this, but the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I love that. I got to tell you, as a preacher, I need to know that it's the Holy Spirit who's teaching. If it were just dependent on me, I got to tell you, I'd stand here and feel like this is just an exercise in fruitlessness and there's no point to it unless the Holy Spirit is in it, because I just enjoy when people say, oh, I loved your message today, and they'll repeat something to me that I didn't even say, because that was the Holy Spirit teaching them. And the Holy Spirit reminds. In other words, the things that we've read in the Word of God. You know, have you ever been challenged about scripture memorization? I got to tell you, at my age, it's really hard. And honest confession, I don't try very much anymore because I work and work and work and work and work and work and work on it and say it over and I'll post it and try. And it just doesn't stick anymore with me. But I got to tell you what I learned when I was young, and that's when it did stick. and kids, by the way, I learned a powerful lesson at another church's VBS one time. I was really passionate about kids need to memorize the scripture. And whenever I was with kids, you know, I'd say, okay, we're going to memorize this verse. And we would say it over and over. And let's repeat it again. Okay, let's repeat it again. Let's repeat it again. Okay, little Nathan now, can you repeat it? He couldn't. Okay, let's repeat it again. Let's repeat it again. You know, okay, Anthony, can you say? And he couldn't. Here's what I learned. They weren't motivated. I went to a church who was having a VBS thing, and a guy was on a platform. They had his sanctuary full of children, and I was there several nights, and every night they had a different game. And one night it was, they had a little like ball on a string with a hoop on the waist, and the guy would just swing his hip around, and the ball would come up, and you try to get the ball in the hoop. And he would do that a few times. And he said, now we're going to have a scripture memorization. And whoever can quote the verse can come up and try this. He said, okay, everybody listen up. All the kids were like this. They were motivated. He said the verse one time. One time. Now, who thinks they can have it memorized? And hands would go up all over, and so he'd point to somebody, can you say it? And the kid would say it. He had that verse because he wanted to come up and do the hoop and the ball. Another time it was throwing the ball at the pins, you know, knocking the pins over. Okay, I'm going to say the verse one time. This is a motivation factor, you know? And I'm motivated now and I don't have the ability anymore. But I'm so thankful for the passages that I did memorize when I was young. Am I? That wasn't in my sermon. Oh, the Holy Spirit reminds us. Here's what I believe about that. Even the things that we think we can't hang on to, when we get into a situation and we need something from God, He will remind us. He'll bring it to our memory. Even stuff that we've thought, I couldn't hang on to that. I tried to hang on to that. The Holy Spirit can bring it back to us and remind us. I'm so thankful for that. Not only does He remind us, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Here's what the scripture says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The old King James, groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit is there at the Heavenly Father's throne just praying for us so earnestly that it just is coming out with groans. Oh. And when does that happen? When we're in a situation that we don't even know what to ask. I don't even know what to pray anymore, God. I don't know how to ask. I don't know what I should ask for. The Holy Spirit is there interceding for us. Well, here's the second point of the message. God wants us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. In other words, you know, God's been so faithful to us. Wouldn't it be good if we were faithful to Him? And not just to Him, but if we were just faithful people, dependable people, trustworthy people. Wouldn't that, if we're going to imitate the character of God, shouldn't we be faithful? And we can do it by the work of the Holy Spirit. So much so that our kids can count on us. Our spouses can count on us. Our work associates can count on us. Our church can count on us. Society can count on us. Let me give you some things that you need to be faithful to and I need to be faithful to. Here's the first one. We need to be faithful to our own spiritual growth. We need to feed ourselves. We need to pray regularly, read the Bible regularly, serve regularly, give regularly. This is part of our spiritual discipline, and we need to, if we're going to be dependable people, we're going to say, you know, I'm going to be a godly person, and I'm going to feed my own spiritual growth. We need to be faithful to our marriage. And faithfulness to marriage doesn't begin the day we're married. So young people, pre-marrieds, faithfulness to your marriage is before you're married by remaining faithful to your future spouse by not just bedding anyone. You're going to wait till you have a ring on before you get involved that way. That's how you're faithful to your marriage. You can enter your marriage saying, this is my one and only. Now, young people, sometimes you think, well, this is the one that is going to be the eventual one, so I can do it now. There are so many eventual ones that never turn out that way. A lot of people who are married have a hard time hanging on to each other. Without any marriage commitment, it's a 90% chance that's not going to last. So you remain pure until marriage. That's faithfulness to your marriage. Another way you remain faithful to your marriage is choose wisely. Make smart choices and be patient. Girls particularly, and I'm glad we have a few young people in this service. Next service will be a lot more, but girls in particular, are influenced by the culture around them that you have to have a boyfriend. You are a nothing person unless there is a boyfriend. So culture is demanding that they have a boyfriend, but then also internally, there's this desire, I'd like to have somebody. And they will settle just so that there's somebody, anybody. And I'll take anybody and I'll make it work. And then they take anybody and give their hearts over. Guard your hearts, girls. Guard your hearts. You don't, it's okay to be single. It's okay to be single. It's okay to not have a guy. By the way, I'm glad we have young people here. Some of you can be leaders in this. Just be single a while. Don't have a boyfriend. And be a leader demonstrating, I'm happy, just me and God. We need some models of that. Then we get married. And faithfulness in a marriage is saying, I will not quit. There will be misunderstandings. There will be disappointments, but I will not quit. I will get discouraged. I will not quit. Faithfulness is a determination. Love is determination. We're going to be faithful to our children. There's an example in the Old Testament. In fact, do you know how many Bible heroes that we read about in the scripture were lousy parents? I'm sorry I said it that way. I'm going to correct that before the second service. How many Bible heroes had wayward children? The reason I want to change that is I know so often you can have wonderful parents and the kids are still going to make their own choices. They still make their own choices. And it's no fault of the parent. It's no fault of the parent. But moms and dads, we do have responsibility and we need to be faithful to it. And I'm not James Dobson. I'm not an expert in this area, but I'm going to give you what I believe happens. Let me just do a continuum here. And here's a child as a baby, and over here's a child at 18. When the child is young and they get to be 2 and 3, you don't say to a child, now, sweetie, what would you like? Where would you like to go? You control that kid. Control that kid. You be the boss. You be in charge. Don't let the kid run the show. I'm going to tell you why I think that's important there in a minute. And then over time, little by little, you release them. But over here, you've established that in their lives, you're the boss. And then over time, you give them liberty more and more and more and more until you let them go. Here's why, one of the reasons why I think that's important. Most kids rebel. Most kids rebel. And if we so control them and they're chafing under this hyper control and they get to be 7 and they say, I'm running away from home. And they go through a rebellion like that, guess what? When they're 7, you can control the damage. But here's what happens a lot. Sweetie, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go? You're going to stand there? You're going to come in out of the rain? Come on in out of the rain. You know, really, who's in charge here? Do you want to take this medicine? Do you want to go to church? Where would you like to go to church? I can't believe that that happens. That shouldn't happen when a child is 5 and it shouldn't happen when a child is 12. Control that, mom and dad. Don't follow the kids. You be in charge. Anyway, now I'm preaching. Anyway, they're going to rebel. They're going to chafe. And I think I would rather have them chafe and rebel when they're 8, 9, 10, 12. But if we say, you have whatever you want, you be the leader, you be the leader, you be the leader, and then they get up here to 15 and 16, and all of a sudden, you know, I let you make all these choices, I let you lead, and now you're making some really terrible things, and I'm really scared, and I better get some control. And we try to control them when they're 17. When we try to control them when they're 17 and they rebel, they can do a lot more damage as a 17-year-old than they could at 10. So if every kid's going to rebel, let them rebel. Control them, just strap them in and let them chafe and rebel when they're 7. You can control the damage. But if you keep catering to them and saying, you can have whatever you want, you can have whatever you want, and then we realize whatever they want is really dangerous and you try to rein it in, and then they really kick and buck. I know this is kind of my theory, but I've watched it so much. I've watched young people when they're in their 20s finally say, I've had enough of this, and they break the chains of what they thought was over control. And boy, can they do a lot of damage to themselves. They're hurting themselves. They ruin their lives. They get into things that will strap them in for the rest of their lives with dysfunction. They'll make the wrong choices about marriage partners. Girls may get pregnant. They get hooked on drugs. I mean, I would rather them say, I don't want to eat my peas. And you're gonna say, you're eating those peas, and you're gonna sit there, and when they get cold, you're still at the table. You don't get up from the table until you eat your peas. Let it happen there. Not when, why can't I date this terrible guy? Let them know early on that the reason you're controlling all this is you have their best interest at heart. When they chafe and rebel, let it be when they're younger. Not in my notes, but hey, that's good preaching. We're to be faithful to our friends. We protect our friends' reputations. When somebody comes to us and said, did you know? And you say, hey, listen, I don't want to hear that. We're to be faithful to our jobs. We're supposed to have integrity. You know, there are statistics out there that how much theft there is at the workplace, things that people take home from work. They say, I can use this, and they just take it home. I heard Bill Hybels one time. He's a preacher. Some of you may not know, but he's a well-known preacher. But he was talking one time that God convicted him because he took some stamps. He used some stamps at work for personal correspondence. And he really felt convicted. And it was like 50 cents worth of stamps. I don't know. But he paid it back. I mean, he really felt convicted. I used church stamps for my personal use. We need to have that kind of integrity. We're to be faithful to our church. Oh, I'm so thankful for faithful people at Hillside Wesleyan Church. Galatians says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. This church has had people who have demonstrated huge amount of faithfulness regarding church. In the last 10 years, this church has gone through 2 very difficult pastoral transitions. And those of you who are here, now, if you're newer to the church, you wouldn't know this. But those of you who are here during those transitions know there were a lot of people said, I followed that person. And if they're not here, then I'm gone. They weren't faithful to the Lord. By the way, top is I'm faithful to God. Next is I'm faithful to my church. Third is, if even there, I like my pastor. You know, that needs to be way down. You don't put the pastor up here and then church and then God or any, you know, God, church. And then I'm going to say, and with church, it's not just the organization, but all my brothers and sisters in Christ that I share with in life group and in worship on Sunday and in logos classes and in serving together. Those are my brothers. That's my church. You know, people will differentiate between that and the organization. Somebody can go to the hospital and 10 people came by to see them, and somebody in that situation will say, well, the church really let me down. What? 10 people came. They don't see that all those people that are their brothers and sisters in Christ are the church. That's the church. Anyway, be faithful to the church. Be faithful to those friends at church. And I'm grateful for people who have been through some very difficult times here and just stuck it out. Said, this is my church. These are my brothers and sisters. I'm not bailing. Thank you. You know, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I've gotten some things from some of the folks in the church. Just this morning, this came in a package. And I have to share it with you. I got this morning. I took it out of the box, and here's the card that came with it, and it's from Gail Jackson. Some of you wouldn't know her, but here is a gift of what I make for my daughter's business. So I made one for you. Bet you don't have one. That is a true statement. Bet you don't. I have one now. You know, what am I going to do with this? But let me tell you, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. But for me, it's lay people appreciation time. I appreciate you. And so as an expression of my appreciation, I'm going to have the ushers come right now and everybody gets some candy. This is my come on in, guys, with that. Just pass that out while I continue to talk. And I just want to let you guys know I really appreciate you. And, you know, I can't get you all a hat. And, I can't give you all a $30 gift card to some restaurant. But, hey, I can at least give you some candy. Enjoy! You know, this is the best communion you'll ever have at church, right there. This is my appreciation to you. I want to tell you, I appreciate your faithfulness and attendance. We're living in a culture that reevaluates attendance. And in this early service, we have older folks who, they remember times when we actually gave out pins for faithful attendance. And if you were in church every Sunday, you got a pin at the end of the year. And there were guys who had the main pin, and then each year after that, they were faithful, got another attachment, you know, and on. They'd have a whole row of, you know, I have not missed a Sunday in 12 years. Who remembers those things? Now, faithful attendance is considered, well, I'm there once or twice a month. I'm a faithful attender. Our definition of faithful attendance has really changed. But, and I'm not telling you have to be here every Sunday. If I told you had to be here every Sunday, then it would be like the pot calling the kettle black because you wondered where I was this last summer. But I'm not saying you have to be here every Sunday. But don't sleep in. One of the things that we're really struggling with at the church is competition now with kids' sports. And I really struggle with that. And I don't want to tell you how to live your lives on that, but I think it's of great value to your kids if you say church is more important. When we start communicating to our kids, there are lots of valid reasons to miss church. What you allow in moderation, your children will do in excess. They will have learned from you. It's okay. And they'll do it even more. So somewhere along the line, you need to communicate to your kids how important church is to you. And Another way that you're faithful to the church is by your service. And by the way, speaking of serving at the church, we got Trunk or Treat coming up this Friday, and we need help. Our latest count is we have 7 people have signed up saying, I will do a trunk or I will do a table, you know, decorate it with a theme and have candy ready for kids. We have 7. We need 20. So that means today we're going to pick up 13 more people who say, I'll do a trunk or I'll do a table. Is that you? Wonder who's going to step up on that. We really need some help on that. I shared with our staff this last week that when we recruit volunteers, I wonder if we're doing it wrong. And I'm questioning. I don't know. But I'm questioning. When we recruit volunteers, here's the approach we take now. Listen, I know you're busy. I know you have so many things going. Could you just give us a smidge? You know, could you serve? If I could work it out where you wouldn't have to do it all the time, but, you know, maybe once a month, if you could step up and do this. And or, you know, if you'll do this, the staff might say, I'll get everything ready for you. All you need to do is just walk through it. There's no preparation that you have to do. And we, as a staff, and I talked to staff, we're bending over backwards to make it as easy as we can for the layperson. And then I said to the staff, maybe we need to raise the bar. Maybe we need to raise the expectations and say, hey, if you're going to serve the Lord, we need to be able to hand some things off to you and just count on you and your faithfulness to make it happen. It's a tension there that I'm feeling right now. Because if we make it easy for you, you know, the staff, we'll burn ourselves out. In the principle in Acts, we're so busy getting the tables ready so that all you have to do is sit at it. That's not biblical. We're supposed to release you for the work of the ministry. So I think maybe we need to raise the bar for some folks. I'm really stepping on toes now. We need to be faithful to the world around us. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. So that's our job. That's why this church exists. We and I talked about it before I ever started the message, the brokenness of this world around us. It's our job to reach out to those broken people and not condemn them, but to say we know where their answers. Sinners need Jesus. Christians need the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. And we need to get that good news out there, and we need to reach out and help people and touch their lives and be faithful to them. We're to be faithful to our neighbors. We need to get to know our neighbors and be there for our neighbors. And you know what? I'm discovering in our culture that we live very isolated in our neighborhoods. And it's just the way our culture has shifted. In fact, you go back 50, 60 years, door-to-door salesman, could I come in and show you my vacuum cleaner or whatever product? And I said, okay, come on. Nobody's going to do that now. And as a pastor, I've even learned, I can't just show up at somebody's house and knock on a door. I'm here for a pastoral visit. They're going to freak out. They do freak out. I quit doing that because, oh, pastor, I don't want you to come in. My house is a mess. Oh, dear. You know, and could you call ahead if you want to come? You know, times have changed. Times have changed. And we live isolated. I love summer because we don't see our neighbors all through the winter. You know, we pull into our we have garage doors. We go in, garage door down. You know, we're in the warm. And then the summer comes. I love summer. Then we're out mowing the lawns. Hey, good to see you, neighbor, again. You know, we get reacquainted with our neighbors in the summer, and I like that. But we need to have relationships with our neighbors so that they're in trouble. We're the ones that they can count on to help them out. I think I'm way over time. Third thing, and I'll go fast now. God rewards our faithfulness. Matthew 25. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful servant, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Now let me dissect that sentence down a little bit. When we're faithful to God, there are words of, you know, I love when people speak words of encouragement to me. If they don't do anything, but they just say a word to me that kind of makes my chest come up and I feel better about myself and they've said something good. Well, that's what God does to us. Well done. Good job. And then, if we're faithful, we have increased opportunities. You have been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of even more. You have proven yourself faithful. I know I can count on you. I'm going to give you more stuff. By the way, that's the way it happens in church. You know that the people we've learned that we can count on, we just give them more work. So 20% of the people in a church are doing 80% of the work because we know who we can count on. Well, he gives us words of commendation. He gives us increased opportunity. And then he gives us eternity in heaven. Come and share in your master's happiness. Revelation says, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Psalm 101, "My eyes will be on the faithful in the land that they may dwell with me." Faithfulness is something that comes out of our lives by the work of the Holy Spirit, is a fruit of the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you're going through right now, but you need the Holy Spirit to help you to not quit, to hang in there, to be dependable, to keep pressing on, to be faithful. And faithfulness is more important. Faithfulness is more important than the things that cause you to want to give up. Let me fill that out. There are things that could discourage you and just say, okay, I'm tired of this, I'm quitting. Your faithfulness is of greater value than however dark that situation is. Faithfulness is more important. Hang in there. Let me pray with you. Lord, I've covered a lot of territory this morning, but I pray by the work of the Holy Spirit, you will apply to some heart what they needed to get out of this message today. Lord, I believe that you planned this, that you knew who would be here, what they're going through, what they needed to hear, and you're going to let them go home with it and apply it. And I thank you for that. Lift someone up today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.